Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Today in the studio, I've got a friend of mine. Played some ball with him as we grew up. His name's Daryl Blair, and he's going to tell us his story. And, you know, Daryl, well, first of all, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Sam, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here with you, brother.
Well, I tell you what, we kind of been running into each other at Saturdays at Planet Fit. We both work out there, and I've had you on my list for a long time to get you in here, and I finally thought about it while I was there and went up to you and said, hey, Daryl, will you join me on the radio show? And you're like, what radio show?
I forgot you still doing it, baby.
Well, I did take a little break, but glad you're here, man. Their focus here is sports, but first I want people to get to know a little bit about who you are, because I have a pretty good feeling the folks around this area know Shoes and know Daryl Blair, but there's going to be a lot of folks here in this thing that probably don't know you. So let's start with the young Daryl Blair. Where'd you come from? Where were you born? And let's talk about your family a little.
Well, I was born here in Coville back in 1966. Born and raised here, been here all my life. And went through the school system here and graduated from Coville High School in 1984. I believe you was
two years behind me.
Known you and your family many, many years. Your dad was an outstanding man. Your whole family was.
As was yours.
But I remember your dad, you know, and umpiring and stuff. Yeah. and just known you. Knew you was in the athletics too, just like I was. And I tell everybody, Sam, I'm just the good Lord's been good to me. I've been very blessed over my life, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. So let's get into athletics. Now, the first time I ran into you, I was a sophomore. You were a senior at Coville High School. We both played for a coach by the name of Bill Davidson, Wild Bill. So let's jump in there, and I'm going to go a little bit ahead of when I ran into you, but you go into 10th grade. We weren't 9th grade at that time. It was 10th grade.
10th grade.
You go into your 10th grade year, and you get to playing basketball. Tell me how that came about.
Well, whenever I started in 10th grade, I had had an accident. Excuse me. And I messed my foot up. Went for several months. Doctors weren't for sure what it was. Went to Nashville. They decided they had to do surgery. Had my foot and my leg was in a cast for 8 weeks, I believe it was. And pretty much my sophomore year, I had to sit out. And that about killed me.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed on as manager because I wanted to be part of the game. And anybody that has managed before, it's tough because you're kind of like the low man, you know, like the water boy.
Right.
that's just the way it was back then.
Yeah.
And, but I went through it, bit my teeth, bit my tongue, the pain and agony. And whenever I got better and got into my junior year, I made a promise to myself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the best I can at it.
So, you know, some people don't know about the injury. When I first heard about Daryl Blair, when I, you know, got to know you, you know, it was, well, he was a manager his 10th grade year.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you find out the rest of the story, you're injured. And so I'm sure you really don't know how much something means to you until you lose it. So going into that adversity in your 10th grade year of losing basketball and still wanting to stay, you had to stay around it because you wanted to be there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was a very challenging time. And, of course, I went but about 5'9", 5'10", and during my sophomore, my junior year, you know, I shot up and got up to 6'3". And during that summertime after I come back from my injury and worked on it, I went everywhere I could. Of course, I was just like you was raised. We played all three sports.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it was back then. But when I got to that point in my life, basketball was my favorite. So that's what I stuck with.
We're talking to Daryl Blair, fire chief for Cookeville Fire and Rescue, and just really picking up there. At the end of your 10th grade year, I think to say you had a growth spurt is an understatement. and this is probably a good place that you can tell everybody that your nickname and why they gave you that nickname.
Well, actually, the nickname come from a gentleman at church. His name was Robert Paul Judd. And I went through, and this was back in the 6th grade. Back in, you know, they weren't many people with a size 12, 13 foot. And I went through it. I guess my groin started at my feet. It just worked its way up. I mean, you know. But in sixth grade, I had a, you know, I had a size 13 foot.
Wow.
And, of course, it sounded like a bunch of Clydesdales running up and down the floor with my feet a-stomping. And it was like I was getting a new pair of shoes every other week. And, of course, I'd go into church, and I'd show him, and I'd say, Robert Paul, look here. I got me some new shoes. And he said, I'm going to start calling you shoes. And it just stuck. A lot of people to this day, Sam, they still don't know what my real name is.
Yeah.
And to me, I consider that an honor because it's just a name that back then, you know, that's all people know me by. And it still sticks to the day. So I'm proud of it.
So here, that's kind of when I got to know you.
Right.
I was over at the junior high with Terry Randolph playing ninth grade basketball.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we knew we were fixing to come over to the high school and possibly get a chance to play basketball. So we started attending games. Of course, my sister played out there too at
yes,
that time. And
very good.
And so I kept hearing about shoes, you know, and finally got to see you play and realized who you were and kind of understood why they called you shoes at that time. Because, I mean, you did. You had some big old feet, and they didn't stop growing for a while either.
No, you know, I wear a 15 now.
Yeah, size
so
15.
It's, you know, back in them days, I weighed 175 pounds, 6'3", could jump out of the gym, as you know. Today, I might could jump maybe an inch, if
well,
that much.
You know, I'm right there with you. I mean, we both could get up there. I mean, you could get up a lot higher than I could, but you could grab the rim, dunk the ball just about any way that you wanted to. And, you know, I guess you were what we would call a leaper. And, you know, I know you remember the leaper, that weight machine we had in there that we used
man.
All the time. Bobby
that,
Knox
the old
threw at
universal
us.
Machine.
Yeah.
You know, up in the balcony.
Yeah. So, you know, let's take a look at that real quick. I mean, you had a lot of athletic ability, there's no doubt. But I guess the thing that really impressed me with you is your leaping ability. Did that just come natural? Is that something you wanted to be able to do and worked at it? Or?
Well, ever since I was young, anything that I'd done, I wanted to be the very best that I could, which I think everybody does.
I would hope, but not necessarily.
Right, not necessarily. You are absolutely correct. But, you know, whenever we would play, of course, I think our bunch, when we started our junior year, when Coach Davidson come in, because we had some coaching changes during that time.
Right.
And he was coaching the girls' team at that time. And I have the utmost respect for Coach Davidson. Love him and his family to death. They're great people. But I believe that man was harder on me than my daddy was. And looking back over it, I know why he was, because he had faith and he seen what he could get out of me. And he got every inch out of me. Now he could make you mad. I mean, you could hear him when he whispered. I believe you could hear him across town. But he was. I loved that man to death. He was to me. He was a great coach, and I think he made us set the bar for you younger people coming in, and which y'all went further than we did, and that was awesome.
Well, you guys, you definitely set the tone, and we're gonna go into names here. You know, for me as a sophomore coming in, and you talked about being little, I was 5'9", probably 120 pounds at that time coming in with you guys. And I, you know, I still played football and basketball both, gave up baseball. But coming in with you guys and that junior year, seeing some of the success you had with a new coach and then getting to, you know, I knew Coach Davidson from my sister for a long time. And you're right, if you know, I don't care how loud the game is in the stadium, you can still hear Coach Davidson. So, he's loud. You didn't have to worry about getting yelled at, because if he opened his mouth, you were going to get yelled at. And like you, I had a lot of respect for the guy. And the thing that stuck out to me with Coach Davidson was he could tell talent. He
yes.
could see a kid coming along in a ninth and tenth grade year and really look down the road and have that vision to what that player could be in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know when we started scrimmaging when I was a junior and before the season started, we were scrimmaging White County at the old gym. And one of the guys come over and he looked at me and he said, "You're starting." And I'm like, "What?" He said, "You're starting." And, you know, and I guess it just started from there, because I'd come from a manager with an injury to starting. And I never had that, really, that prospect of it.
Yeah, and the faith, you
right.
know, of a coach to put you in that position,
right.
knowing what could be.
And if he had, and you're exactly right, Sam, he had the faith in me, so I knew I had to provide and prove that he was correct. and I just let it go after that. And once I got there, I wasn't going to give it up.
So what were some changes you noticed coming in with Coach Davidson taking over? And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Coach Downing. Before that. So what were some of the instant changes and things that you saw that you liked out of Coach Davidson?
Coach Davidson, he was very, very smart in the basketball game. Mm-hmm. He studied film. And he know the Upper Cumberland area. Right. You know, back in them days, you know, like with us, White County, Livingston, you know, everybody had good teams back then.
Right.
And it was anybody's game any night. But he was pretty sharp at it. Now, it used to kill me when he wanted to run man-to-man. Oh, man, that killed me. And I'd try to find the slowest person out there.
I got him.
Yeah, I'm like, I got this guy. But, you know, he knew we didn't have that much height. You know, Terry Rich.
Yeah.
He come in as a sophomore. He was 6'5".
Right.
And I'm 6'3". We're the starting forwards.
Right.
So he seen that we had the ability to do the running gun at the time. And of course, you know, you had Harold, Greg Jordan, Harold Smith, Britt Akers. Britt was just a sophomore. Harold was a sophomore,
right?
And me and then you had Steve Reeder coming in, and it worked.
Yeah.
You know, that junior year, I believe we won 11 games. Now that don't sound like much, but Coolville had not had a winning
right
men's program since I believe it was 77-78, and. That's kind of
what got it started and going into the next year.
It did.
So that gets this segment, and we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Daryl Blair, Cookeville Fire Chief and former basketball player at Cookeville High School.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Good morning, Upper Cumberland, and welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. And again, I have Daryl Blair, fire chief in Cookeville, as my guest today. Also a former basketball player at Cookeville High School. And we were just touching on that and getting into the end of his junior season. Had a pretty good year that year at 11 wins, and that took him into his senior year. And reeled off some pretty good wins there in your senior year. Daryl, let's set the stage here. We talked a couple of names. Greg Jordan really sticks out to me, you know, as someone who really improved his game from his junior year to senior year. And really, Daryl, your whole team did. You got Harold Smith, Sugar Bear at, you know, point guard with Britt Akers.
They kind of
shared that role a little bit as shooting guard and also point guard, both of them very talented. And then you mentioned Steve Reeder off the bench. Great, great person to come in off the bench. You can't say enough about what that role is right there. But, man, you guys really pulled together going into your senior year and created something pretty special for Cookeville.
We did. I'll go back to the last game we played in our junior year. The districts was in Lebanon. And I believe that showed us right there because – again, Cookeville had not had a winning season in a lot of years. But we got beat that first game. Of course, that was it. And in that dressing room, and including myself, there was a lot of teary eyes. And when we come back the next year in the camp, we made a pact. We knew we could do it. We knew we had a long and hard road ahead of us. But we said, we're going to do this. We're going to make something special come out of this group. And by the grace of God, we did. We went through camp. We had a good camp. Coach Davison, he had took us to, well, I know we went to Knoxville to one. Of course, had the one here at Tech that they used to have every year.
Nice to have that at home.
Yes. And it was just, and you know, he expected perfection out of us. Hmm. And he brought in an old player. I don't mean old as in age, but was part of the last winning team, Coach Bobby Maxwell. Have great, great admiration and respect for Coach Maxwell, too. Because he would get in there and play with us, if you remember. And
I do, Daryl. And Coach Maxwell, it was kind of like, you know, inserting someone in there who helped, you know, Coach Davidson had been around a long time. Coach Maxwell was a lot younger and could relate with us maybe a little bit better. And, oh, by the way, could shoot the lights out of it, you know, and was
he still
a great
had the
player.
Touch. Yeah. Yes, he still had the touch, the I call it the charisma.
Yeah.
And if you'll remember, Ronnie Myers.
Yeah.
You know, helped out some.
Yeah, that's right.
And he helped us big men, which we wasn't big. I mean, we was just skinny bones nearly. But
right.
But we could move. But he really helped me and Terry a lot down low. And it just started clicking. When we started that season off, we started off 4-0. And no Cooville team had really done that. And we set the bar there, and then we lost the first game. Then we went on through, and it was, oh, how I'd love to go back through them one more time.
Well, and you know, Terry Rich, you mentioned coming in from our eighth grade year, and we had a pretty good year over there at the junior high. He was one of our guys that actually got to play with you guys a lot, actually started.
Yes.
And, you know, you and him inside together, you know, you weren't that tall. But both of you could leap very well, so you played bigger than you were.
Right.
And then, you know, you throw in Greg Jordan and Sugar Bear, Harold Smith, and Britt Akers. You know, that team really gelled. I mean, there was not a jealous guy on that team. You guys loved being around each other. It was so cool for me to see as a sophomore coming in, you know, knowing, I mean, that I wasn't going to get any playing time that year, so I got to practice and learn from you guys. And really what happened for me was I was a little bitty scrawny guy, but I got thrown around, pounced around, and beat up a lot, and that helped me. I mean, I can't tell you how much it did help me in toughness because I ended up playing football.
Exactly.
You know, at Tennessee Tech, but being beat around by you guys, and not in a bad way.
No.
I mean, in a good way. You guys never did. There was no hazing. There was no negativity for any of us younger guys. And you guys don't know how much we appreciated it and how much it meant to us later on.
Well, we was like one big family. And number one, Coach Davison would have never allowed that to begin with because he demanded discipline and he demanded respect. I never could figure out why he demanded it because he automatically got it
right.
Just because of who he was. But, you know, I was just like you was, Sam. You know, between my sophomore and junior year, I would go to Tech and play with the Tech men's team on pickup games.
Right.
And get the far beat out of me. But, you know, I knew that's what you had to do to improve. And it took, you know, I had to earn their respect. And but that senior year, you know, I guess I'm a little maybe naive or whatever, but I believe we set the bar for the future teams coming in, you know, because I believe it was 85, 86, they went to the sub-state.
Right.
And, you know, we made it all the way to the semis of the region that year, and no Cooville team had ever been that far.
No, and you made it to we got beat by the eventual state champion that
Columbia.
Year was, yeah, Columbia. And along the way, we played Oakland, you know, in the district finals to go to the region.
Was tough.
Yeah, they were good at every position.
Oh, yeah, and what made them so good, you know, they could take – they had 11 men on their team. Any one of them 11 could be the starting five.
Right.
And whenever they put the starting five out there, they beat you by just rotating in and out and in and out. Where with us, where we was so small – we was quick, but, you know, we didn't really have that much coming off the bench because a lot of them, some of them had never played.
Right.
And but they was learning. And, of course, you was mentioning Coach Randolph. I got to put a good word in for him because
sure.
he helped me a lot. He was my coach in junior high. And my ninth grade year, I kind of started blossoming a little.
Mm-hmm.
And he seen that. And he pushed me hard. But, you know, back in them days, Sam, and I'm not saying we don't now because I don't keep up with it like I used to did, but back in them days, we had a great, great feeder system from the junior high to
right.
the senior high. And, you know, Coach Randolph was a big part of that.
Right, no doubt. Who later became the coach out there at
yes.
Cookeville High School and got his chance to, you know, to be the head coach at Cookeville, which he really wanted to
right.
do. So let's jump back there just shortly, in the short time that we have left. You guys, man, you moved into that situation where, you know, that team bonded, that team gelled. You know, what was the biggest influence individually to you going through your high school years? Who really sticks out of your mind that really motivated you and that, you know, maybe you want to say, hey, you know, thank you for that?
I'd have to say it to the whole team.
Okay.
Because, you know, you guys, like you said earlier, if you didn't get to play much or if you weren't starting or whatever, you were still behind us. You know, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I know a lot of times when we was doing warm-ups, I would get you to throw the ball back to me because I knew you would do it just like it was a game. You would fire it at me. You would bounce it at me. You'd make me work for it. I don't know if you ever remember that.
Of course.
I want to tell you thank you.
Yeah.
But I think a thank you goes to the whole team because it just bonded so well as a family atmosphere. And, you know, we did a lot of things together off the court.
Well, the thing that stood out to me, Daryl, and, you know, you and thanking the whole team there, that's what it was to me. I mean, one night, you know, Sugar Bear might lead in points. The next night it might be you. And there was no animosity in that team at all.
No.
Everybody was thankful for each other, and it didn't matter who the leading scorer was. You know, we just wanted to play. I think that's
the
thing.
And even when I went to the foul line, you know, you guys were still behind me knowing that I wasn't going, probably wasn't even going to make it. But, you know, I knew my job was rebounding.
Yeah.
My job was to get the ball and get it to GJ, to Bear, or to BA.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'd tell them before the game started, tip off. Get set. Let's go.
Let's go.
I get it. And, you know, like I told Terry, he's coming in. He's under me. And I'm trying to help him because it's a lot of pressure moving from junior high to high school. And, you know, I said, look, you can do this. You can play this game. Don't let nobody run over you. You be the man.
Today we're talking to Daryl Blair. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning, Upper Cumberland. Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again with Daryl Blair, fire chief here in Cookeville. So you play your last basketball game. You're finishing up your senior year of high school. What's your thought process about maybe what you want to do going into the future?
It was heart-wrenching. We should have won it, but we didn't. That's just the way it played out.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived and breathed basketball back in. You know, my senior year, I tell everybody, you know, I had woodworking most of the day, Mr. Swag.
Mr. Swag.
Right. You know, I had all my credits, and this is something I tell younger kids. I ain't told my own kids this. Pay attention when you're in school. Get your education. I kept my grades to where I could just play ball.
Right.
Because that's all I wanted to do. When I got out, I regretted that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Coach Davison took me out. I'll never forget. David Lipscomb was looking at me.
Right.
He took me down there and I practiced with him. And had a great experience, a great time. The coach's time there, they was wanting me. Ready to sign. And I got that heartbreaking news sitting on the bleachers with them. I would have to be redshirted.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really 100% what redshirting meant back at that time.
Right.
And I'm like, why have I got to wear a red shirt? I mean, you know, I'm just being honest here. So I was going to have to sit out a year.
Gotcha.
And it goes back to the sophomore year. And I told them, thank you for your time. I appreciate the consideration, but I sat out once in my life. I ain't sitting out again.
Gotcha.
And that crushed me.
You know, you talked about your kids. I mean, and there's kids out there, hopefully, maybe listening to this. Of course, this thing is linked, and you can listen to it later. But there's going to be people that hear this that are going to learn something from that. And, you know, you're a pretty smart guy, you know.
You might get 10 to 1 odds.
Well, you know, everything in life, and you'll agree with me on this, is about decisions. And
exactly.
And you were doing fine. I mean, it wasn't like you were failing anything. It's just you were doing what you thought you needed to do. But all of a sudden, through all the work that you've done in basketball, this opportunity comes, and then you weren't able to capitalize on that. So that's a good lesson.
Exactly. Because, you know, I tried 1 6 weeks. I didn't put a full effort in it, but I tried 1 6 weeks. And it was for my mom. Mm-hmm. She'd been on me. And, you know, I missed the AB honor roll by 2 points.
Yeah.
Okay. But looking back at it now, I should have been on that continuously because I could have.
Yeah.
But I did not put enough focus on school like I should have. And I would advise any kid out there to this day, keep your grades, do the best you can in school, because an education is something that cannot be took away from you.
Man, and how important is that in today's world, Daryl?
It's just the way life is.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you'd hope every kid would normally naturally want to do that, but that's not the way it happens. And I'll say this, Daryl, there's sometimes in some situations kids are dealing with a lot more baggage nowadays than we ever. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot. You didn't have a whole lot. But I tell you what, I didn't know it. I mean, my parents provided what I needed to live, and I was happy as could be just to do the things that I was able to do. And like you, I didn't burn it up by no means.
No, if you got to go out to eat once a month, I mean, you was rich.
Right.
The way I look at it. And, but, you know, I always regret that, Sam.
Yeah.
Because that was just a crushing blow to me, because here, everything that I'd wanted to do, I slept, I eat, I dreamed of basketball.
Right.
And getting told you're going to have to sit out again.
Right.
That was devastating to me.
Sure.
Coach Davidson talked to me on the ride back home. He told me I could do it. He said, I'm telling you, you know how that deep voice. Yeah. But I told him, I said, Coach, I said, you'll never know how much this means to me for you to do this for me. But I said, I can't. Mm-hmm. I said, I won't. I said, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret that.
Well, okay. So you made that decision. And what happens next in your life? Where did you go from there?
Well, after that, you know, graduating, after graduation, I thought, man, you know, I've been in school all my life. I'm going to take a summer off and everything, you know, kick around the house, do whatever. No, that wasn't what old dad had in mind. I'll never forget, you know, the first day after graduation, my dad comes in there and gets me out of bed. He said, no, you ain't going to lay around the house. He said, you get out and you find you a job, or either you're going to school. But he said, there ain't going to be no laying around the house. And I was like, well, you know, I thought I'd made him mad or something. And, of course, I mean, you know, you remember my dad? My dad was a big man.
Oh, yeah, he's a big man.
And so I got out, found a job, really wasn't what I wanted. And ever since I was a little kid, I was always wanting to be in the fire service.
Okay.
And this is where this part of my career starts. I worked two or three jobs, and I tried and tried to get on, and I got on at the county fire department. Bo Sherrill, his dad,
Bo
Solon.
Yeah.
He was on it at that time. Knew him well. He told me to come to a meeting. And back in them days, if you showed up, you know, hey, sign the paperwork, you're on. And, you know, and I thought, man, I've made it. You know, I'm on the Putnam County Volunteer Fire Department. I still was trying to get on at the city. And in 1987, December 1st of 87, I started my first day with the Cobo Fire Department and ain't never looked back.
So that's not too far, really, after you got out of school.
No, it's just a waiting game.
And something you really wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me what's special about the fire department for you, and how did you even get interested in that?
Well, when I was little, of course, the show Emergency, watching it and stuff, and it just, I don't know, back in the day when I was growing up, we had two radio stations here in town, WHUB and WPTN.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was WHUB, when the fire department had a call, they would come across the radio with the cue siren, woo, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they'd say the Cobo Fire Department is responding to this fire. I can remember there was some nights I would wake my mom and dad up, I would hear it. They would take me. Now, here I am. I'm just a 9-10-year-old kid, but they would take me, and I'll never forget that. Whenever I first started, and I was telling these guys about this, you know, and they're kind of looking, you know. Of course, when I started, you know, it was the old school type.
Right.
Great bunch of guys. I learned a lot from them. But, you know, it's like, you know, this guy, what's he talking about here, you know. But, you know, I tell everybody, Sam, if anybody's got to live a dream, I've got to do it.
Yeah.
And I am so blessed for that.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, there's probably so many stories, so many experiences that you've had through this, your career and being involved. And, you know, you're talking about life and death situations a lot of times. I'm sure you've seen all kinds of them.
Oh, yeah.
What sticks out in your mind? Let's say maybe the hardest moment in your career that you've had being the fire chief or a part of the fire department.
Kids.
Yeah.
Kids. It's tough with kids. Anytime anybody loses a life, it's bad, whether you know them or not. But when it comes to kids, it's just different. But when you sign on the dotted line, that's part of it. You don't ever think of that.
Right.
But it can and it does happen. Seen a lot, seen some good. And
well, that was my next question. Yeah. Out of your time, what's something that stands out in your mind that, you know, you won't forget that is really good?
A gentleman come up. We was outside one day, and we had had a fire at this gentleman's house probably about a year or so before. And pulled this gentleman out. And that's in my time, and I think it's still there to this day, that was your goal, getting to save a life in a fire. Because, you know, back in them days, we didn't run medical extrication and stuff. It was just strictly fire.
Fire.
But this gentleman, you know, I found him, and along with help some others, you know, we got him outside. Didn't know if he had made it or not. But anyway, we're outside. It was on a Sunday because we was grilling out, and this gentleman pulls up and didn't know who he was. And he says, I said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "I'm looking for a Daryl Blair."
You're like, uh-oh.
And I'm like, well, what are you needing there? He said, "Well, I need to talk to him." I said, "Well, you're talking to him." And, you know, we shook hands like I do with everybody. And I said, "What can I do for you?" And he told me his name. Mm. And it never sunk in, you know, because I didn't know his name at the time. And I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm sorry." I said, I don't remember. And I said, "What's this about?" And he said, "I just wanted to stop and tell you thank you." He said, "I'm the gentleman you pulled out of the fire that night." And, yeah, the big old man got tears in his eyes, and I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, you know, just to see this guy with the shape he was in that night, and, I mean, he has some severe injuries. And but he was up. He was walking. He was able to get around. And that's pretty special,
I'm
Sam.
Sitting here listening to it and getting chills here. And, you know, that's got to be something that's – you know, one of the most rewarding jobs that you can have. And there's a downside, as you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also the good side.
The pain and agony that he has to go through.
Yeah.
With his injuries. But
he's alive.
He's alive.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to get run through the ringer if I don't mention your lovely wife. I went to school with her. And I got to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your family. We got about a minute and a half left. But introduce us to your family.
Well, my wife's name is Robin. She was Robin Morris in school, as you're aware. She's the rock of my ages.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the foundation of our family.
Yeah.
And she's lucky to have a man like me.
Somehow I knew that was coming.
No, I'm very blessed to have her as my wife. 37 years we've been together. Got three beautiful kids. My daughter's Emily Beauchet, married a gentleman from Mount Juliet. And I'm very blessed to have two good son-in-laws.
Yeah.
His name's Brett. My youngest daughter, Shelby Maxwell. She's married to Mark Maxwell. Very, very good husband also. And my youngest son is Reese. He graduates next month.
Wow.
From Upperman.
Mm-hmm.
Got a new grandbaby that's 3 months old, Vivian Maxine.
Oh,
Maxwell.
Boy. Well, Daryl, let me take the opportunity to thank you. You probably don't know how much you meant to us young guys, and not only you, but Sugar Bear, Harold, and, you know, Greg Jordan, and all you guys, you know, and what you meant for us. My sports career ended up a pretty good one.
It did.
And I'm very thankful, and I say that to the Lord every night and how it's
Amen.
Turned out in my life. And you guys played a big role in that for me. And that's what I love about doing this show, man. I get to bring these people on here who've made a difference in my life, and you're one of them, and I get the opportunity to thank you live. So I appreciate everything you've done for me, man.
Sam, I appreciate you, brother. Love you.
Thanks for coming on the show today, and we appreciate it. We'll have you back sometime.
I appreciate it.